It's making sure we all know he's come again this Sunday.
Good morning, everybody. Our first reading is Psalm 30. I will exalt you, O Lord, for you lifted me out of the depths and did not let my enemies gloat over me. O Lord, my God, I called to you for help, and you healed me. O Lord, you brought me up from the grave. You spared me from going down into the pit. Sing to the Lord, you saints of his. Praise his holy name, for his anger lasts only a moment, but his favour lasts a lifetime. Weeping may remain for a night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. When I felt secure, I said, I shall never be shaken. O Lord, when you favoured me, you made my mountain stand firm. But when you hid your face, I was dismayed. To you, O Lord, I called. To the Lord I cried for mercy. What gain is there in my destruction, in my going down into the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it proclaim your faithfulness? Hear, O Lord, and be merciful to me. O Lord, be my help. You turned my wailing into dancing. You removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, that my heart may sing to you and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give you thanks forever. Whakarongo ki te kupu a te wairoa ki te hahi. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Thanks be to God. Kaha kupu ki a tātou. And our te rongapai tapu, our holy gospel for today is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 5, beginning at verse 21. Praise and glory to God. Te whakamoe miti te karoria ki te atua. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered round him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue rulers, named Jairus, came there. Seeing Jesus, he fell at his feet and pleaded earnestly with him. My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live. So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crowding against you," his disciples answered, "and yet you can ask, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." While Jesus was still speaking, some men came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler. "Your daughter is dead," they said. "Why bother the teacher anymore?" Ignoring what they said, Jesus told the synagogue ruler, "Don't be afraid, just believe." He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue ruler, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, "Why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. after he put them all out. He took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, Talitha kum, which means, little girl, I say to you, get up. Immediately the girl stood up and walked around. She was 12 years old. At this they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this and told them to give her something to eat. Te ranga pai tēnei ā te ka aiti. This is the gospel of Christ. Praise to Christ the Word. Whakamoe matitia ea te.
Well done, Harold. Thank you. Good morning, everyone. My name is Bruce Candy, and it's a pleasure to be with you this morning. And this morning I want to talk about faith, and I want to do it through the theme of film and movies. When I was a younger man, I decided I'd read through the Bible cover to cover. It took me 3 years. I was a busy bloke at that time. The thing that struck me as I worked through the first book, Genesis, was what great stories. You could make a movie out of this stuff. In fact, it's not unlike a TV soap opera. There's family rivalries, family murders even, adultery, betrayal, unexpected twists, extraordinary faithfulness, the underdog prevailing, heroism, supernatural miracles, the sort of material a movie director would love to get his hands on. And Google tells me they have. Over 100 movies have been made using the Bible, using stories from the Bible. You may know some. There's Mel Gibson's 2004, The Passion of the Christ. The lesser known 2018 film, Mary Magdalene, starring or featuring Joaquin Phoenix as a bit of a dark Jesus. The 2016 film, Risen, about a Roman soldier's search to find Jesus' body, featuring New Zealand's very own... Don't watch a lot of movies, do you? Cliff Curtis. Cliff Curtis there, bottom left, as a very New Zealand Jesus. There's the Gospel according to Matthew. There's been more than one of those made. The 1956 epic. This is more your time frame. Starring a handsome Charlton Heston as Moses in... Ben-Hur, that was the first one, and the second one was the Ten Commandments. Lesser-known movies like David and Goliath, that's been made several times. David and Bathsheba, that was begging to be made, featured starring Gregory Peck back in the 50s. And even Esther and the King, starring Joan Collins. The story of Jesus that features in our Bibles has been called the greatest story ever told. And there's even a movie with that exact title, The Greatest Story Ever Told, released in 1965 when it grossed $15 million. But it cost $20 million to make it. Great story, great actors, lousy financials. Today's gospel reading from Mark is a great story, fit, I think, for a television series, complete with desperate characters, an unexpected twist, a battle of fear versus faith, two miracles, and two happy endings. So I've put on my director's hat, and I've got my clapperboard. Thank you, James. And imagine today's gospel story as an episode from a TV series. Naturally, it starts with some background. So we get a recap from last Sunday's episode. Previously in Gospel of Mark, and as a montage, I imagine a montage of four clips. Jesus and the disciples in a boat in a storm, saying, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" The second one is Jesus standing, and he commands, "Quiet, be still." As things settle, Jesus chides the frightened disciples. "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" And the montage ends with the awe-filled question, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." This week's episode sees the party returning to their home village from that very same boat trip. As has become normal, a large crowd gathers quickly around, wanting to see and hear Jesus. He's a people magnet. Gradually, the camera comes to focus on a desperate man pushing his way through the crowd and throwing himself at Jesus' feet. But this is no emotional loony. This is Mr. Jairus, a respected leader at the local synagogue. Everyone knows him. Now, the party line in Jewish hierarchy was not particularly favourable towards Jesus. In fact, several times in the Gospels, the Jewish bigwigs in Jerusalem respond to Christ's miracles by saying, "How can we kill him?" So when a leader from the local synagogue bows his knee to Jesus, you can imagine some raised eyebrows in the crowd. Scandal. This won't go down well when it gets back to Jerusalem. Jairus has a heart-wrenching story. "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so she will be healed and live." Wow, what an endorsement of Jesus' ministry from a local synagogue leader. Now, we know how old the girl is because we were paying attention during Harold's reading. And we know she is 12 years old. You listen to the Bible better than you watch movies. Well done. Jesus speaks kindly to Jairus and sets out with him, followed by his disciples and a large number of onlookers. I imagine the film director having the camera jostled and bumpy to emphasise the bustle of the crowd. Suddenly, the desperate situation of Mr. Jairus is interrupted by the desperate situation of a second person. The script notes read, "A woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. The action pauses and we get a flashback with the subtitle, 12 years earlier. I imagine a warm scene with soft lighting and focus. We recognise a young-looking Mr. Jairus with his tired, sweaty wife, a Jewish midwife, and a brand new baby girl. It's a scene of relief, of joy, and a feeling of unknown promise and potential. And with just a dash of creative license, a voice from heaven whispers, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you hope and a future. The camera shot zooms away from the birthing suite and travels a short distance to another scene in the same medical facility. A young woman is holding her tummy, looking worried. A doctor is shaking his head, but offering a sliver of hope with a herb potion he's handing over to her as the woman finds her leather purse in preparation for payment. With another dash of creative license, a voice from heaven whispers, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you hope and a future. So, back to real time. and the woman who is dodging her way through the crowd. She's older now. In fact, she's aged more than the 12 years that have passed. Her clothes are clean and tidy, but they're old and worn. There's little cash for a new dress or footwear. She has a determined look on her face, but she keeps her head down. She's used to the rejection of being ceremonially unclean. She slinks through the crowd and sees her moment when a gap opens between two pairs of hairy, sandaled legs. And just through that gap, it's Jesus. She reaches out in desperate faith and touches the edge of Jesus' cloak. The script notes read, "Immediately her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering." I imagine a shudder of goosebumps and her spine tingling as she realizes the miracle that has just happened. At once, Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crowding around you," the disciples answered, "and yet you can ask, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus kept looking to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, trembling with fear, and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." Just as we relax and observe the kindness of Jesus, the smiles of the disciples, and enjoy the warm fuzzies of a woman relieved from a long period of suffering, some breathless messengers from Jairus' house burst onto the scene. "Don't bother the teacher anymore. Your daughter is dead." Wow, we weren't expecting that. Of course, if you're watching this on free-to-air television, it's time for an ad break, so the suspense can hang in the air. After your toilet break, it's time for a recap. We've got two desperate but determined characters. They're linked by the fact that their story started 12 years earlier. One knows 12 years of family relationship building, the other 12 years of suffering. One is confident and respected, the other embarrassed and knows rejection. But both are acting with godly faith. It might be small faith, but all you need is a mustard seed's worth. So at this point, it's wonderful news for the woman and dreadful news for Jairus. But again, Jesus puts faith front and centre. Having just acknowledged and commended the woman's faith, Jesus now encourages the faith of Jairus. "Don't be afraid, just believe." What is faith? I like the acronym FAITH. Forsaking all, I trust him. No matter what's happening, no matter what the situation, we trust God. Psalm 23 says, and you'll know it well, "Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." Job goes so far as to say, "Though he slay me, yet I will hope in him." Faith. Forsaking all, I trust him. And Jesus is always looking for faith or for a faith response. In fact, in Luke 18, he says, "When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" And when he does find faith, he always commends it. To the healed leper, He said, "Rise and go, your faith has made you well." To blind Bartimaeus, he said, "Receive your sight, your faith has healed you." And in the story of the Roman centurion who asked Jesus to heal his servant without even coming to his home, Jesus comments, "I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith." Jesus is always looking for a faith response, and when he finds it, he always commends it. The enemy of faith is fear. Fear and faith are at opposite ends of the rope in a tug of war. We saw this wonderfully emphasized in last week's episode, Storm on the Lake, when Jesus debriefs the disciples asking, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" Fear and faith at opposite ends of the rope. And Jairus is desperately struggling with this tug of war. Jesus' encouragement is, don't be afraid, just believe. Faith overcomes fear, even when it's only as small as a mustard seed. Now we sense a change of pace. Jesus leaves the crowd behind with nine of the disciples, taking only the three seniors, Peter, James, and John. And together with Jairus, we see them moving quickly towards Jairus' home. Before they arrive at the house, you can tell the professional mourners are doing their thing. When you're a synagogue leader, you're not going to lack for volunteer mourners to help with the grieving process. Jesus interrupts this cultural practice, saying, "Why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep." Which is exactly the same way Jesus described the death of Lazarus. The mourners look down their noses and laugh at him, at which point Jesus again exerts his control and puts them all out. Fancy getting evicted from a funeral. So there are now just seven in the room: an emotional mum and dad, three disciples who are taking everything in, Jesus, and one little girl who is very obviously dead. Jesus takes her lifeless hand and simply says, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Now the movie director in me wants to add a few seconds of suspense where nothing happens, and the camera pans over the expressions of people's faces. But Mark is having none of that. He's quick to say, "Immediately the girl stood up and began to walk around." Jairus' desperate faith has been rewarded by Jesus, but no one had foreseen it happening quite like this. And Mark says, at this they were completely astonished. Well, maybe the onlookers were, but Jesus certainly wasn't. He is the holder and giver of life, life with a capital L. He doesn't even need to pray up a storm. Resurrection life simply oozes out of him. While the others are stunned and astonished, Jesus is already thinking of more practical matters. Give the girl something to eat. So in summary, there are three or four points I'd like to emphasise. One, we can have faith in God's plans. God is good. His plans are good, and he can be totally trusted. Yes, life has its unexpected twists and turns. Some are sudden emergencies. Some may drag on for years. They are all opportunities to trust God and to hang on to faith in him and his plan. Second, fear and faith are opposites in a tug of war. But faith, even though only the size of a mustard seed, can be supercharged by God to to win that tug of war. Third, Jesus is looking for faith on the earth. He's always looking for a response of faith. And when he sees it, he commends it and rewards it. And the final thing is that acronym, F-A-I-T-H, forsaking all, I trust him. May we all encourage one another in faith so that it will be found when the Son of Man returns to earth. Amen.